Blog Talk Radio.
You want?
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 25th of April. And I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Washington, Michigan, where my parents look. It's good to be here with you, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning into the broadcast. And I know, you know, God's pleased with you that you would tune in to the broadcast. Of course, as they say, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning in, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter how, it's more like we're so glad that, because, as I said last night, you might be tuning in on a laptop, on a desktop. I mean, I said last night that maybe it's just dinosaurs that still use desktops. I don't know. Maybe it would be a dinosaur, because I don't think dinosaurs, if they were still around. Furthermore, what would you say about the whole dinosaur thing? Would you also say that they're a fantasy and not necessarily proven real?
No, dinosaurs have been proven real.
Then why aren't they in the Bible?
Narwhals in the Bible, why aren't rhinoceroses in the Bible, and giraffes, why aren't elephants in the Bible, and chickens?
Therefore Elijah was taken, and in the process, there was a dinosaur.
Right. But they do speak in, I do believe it is the book of Job, that they speak about the Leviathan and the Behemoth. And the way that the Leviathan and Behemoth are described, it sure does sound a lot like what would be considered an Apatosaurus and maybe a Mosasaur. A Mosasaur, yes.
What's that? What's that, a dinosaur from Moses?
No, a Mosasaurus was the largest prehistoric aquatic dinosaur to ever exist on planet Earth that is proven to have existed.
Okay, but
anyhow, you know, I want to thank you for tuning in, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you're tuned in to the broadcast. I do want to let you know that tomorrow night I won't be live exactly. I'll be in Illinois. I'll be in Springfield, Illinois, the capital city, a ways south of Chicago. I honestly don't know how far south it is from Chicago, but I'll be down there with Rambabu, a known evangelist from India. And he's had many different miracles happen in his ministry over the years, both in India as well as in other places that he went to minister, including here in the U.S. And this will be my first time getting to go and actually see him. I mean, you know, be ministered to by him in person. My dad has seen him multiple different times. And what is it he calls my dad, like his eighth man or something
six.
Like that?
Six.
Like sixth man, like anywhere, or like here in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
So as far as like when he's in the U.S. My dad is considered to be like his sixth man. Now, I don't know where they get all that from and all that and how they get to numbering them necessarily, but my dad is part of that, and my dad's found favor with him. And I think it's a pretty cool thing, to be honest. So it really is a great thing that he would be, yeah, so he's down there in Illinois right now, and I'll be flying down there, actually into St. Louis, and then my dad will be picking us up from the airport, and so it's a pretty cool thing to think about. I'm happy about it myself. And then, of course, and then after that, I'll be going to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'll be going to Bill Driscoll's church over there, where Darlene Bishop Driscoll is actually the pastor, but Phil Driscoll is her husband. Her husband of many years had died recently, and then Phil became her husband. And so I think it's pretty cool.
The way
that whole thing worked out. Cause, and if you don't know who Phil Driscoll is, he used to not be a Christian singer. He used to be a secular singer. He used to be like into the whole rock and roll thing way back when. And then he ended up giving his life to Jesus, and then he decided to go crazy for God. Because he figured if I can go at level 10 for the world, why should I go level 1 for God? Why should I not, like, really be out there? So, he's done great things, you know, wherever he's been, but, he used to live in the South for such a long time, and now his church is near Cincinnati, which is near the southern U.S., but not exactly in it, as they say, but a pretty cool thing that I get to go see. I had been at that church before, back in the day, but one of the two, because there's regular Solid Rock and then there's Solid Rock South. But I had been to one of those two once when Dr. Buckley was there.
Mm.
It was when Dr. Buckley was there.
And then you can tell them that Dr. Buckley's your pastor.
Which is my pastor.
Then he has been for 33 years.
He's been for my whole life. He's always been my pastor, which is part of why I refer to him a lot. The Bible says, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, and that it's actually good to imitate those who follow Christ. Which can explain why I refer to Dr. Barclay a lot. And, yeah, I'm just doing what the Bible allows me to do. And the Bible encourages me to do that, believe it or not. It actually encourages us to do that. Imitate those who follow Christ. It literally tells us to do that. So that's part of how I obey the Word of God, as it gives me instruction, as it gives us all instruction.
Amen.
To do that. So that's why I allow myself to refer to, you know, like our pastors, our fathers in the faith,
That's why you hear me refer to Dr. Barclay. That's why if you listen to Dr. Barclay, Pastor Barclay, Marty Barclay, you may hear him refer to people like Dr. John Osteen, who is in heaven, Dr. Roy Hicks, again, in heaven, or Dr. George Evans. Thank you. Bless your summer. Steve. And also Hilton Sutton. And even Kenneth E. Hagin, who again is also in heaven just like the others, even though Dr. Hagin was not Dr. Barclay's, one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith, but he had gleaned a lot from Dr. Hagin. And of course, these sermons, while these people who I referred to may not be living anymore, some of their sermons live on forever. And many of them have sermons on YouTube that you can go watch. I've seen some of Dr. Lester Sumrall's stuff from years ago. I know he is soft-spoken, but if you can get through to the heart of it, because I remember when I showed you some Lester Sumrall stuff, but sure enough, he was soft-spoken.
Yes.
And if you can get through that softness of when, you'll be able to get through, you know, to hear him and let the Holy Spirit speak through those people that were before us, you know, to a degree, because all these people who I mentioned were still alive when I was born. Not other than, of course, other than Dr. Buckley. Now, they're all in heaven. We have a problem in the Church of America. It used to be a thing. It used to be a thing. It had always been a thing for so long that the American church would always give ear to the elders. You say, what do you mean the elders? Those preachers who were much older, you know, maybe not just always older, but, you know, well-seasoned. And they honored them. Like they honored those people like Kenneth E. Hagin, Amy Semple McPherson, R.W. Shambach, John Osteen, Oral Roberts. Some other names. We're talking like back when. So like, but now you have so many people who want to turn to some of these younger preachers instead, who aren't exactly the elders yet. They're not exactly a Mark Buckley, a Rodney Howard Brown, or someone like a, you know, there could other names, you know, Pastor Carson or Pastor, you know, some of those other ones. It's like some people skipped over the elders of today and decided they wanted to go to, like, who was cool.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's like, where is Mark Barclay, Kenneth Copeland, and others, you know, who are still alive and ministering today? And you're right, Mom, it is terrible.
I'm only part of what made me. I was just on heaven on my heart, and we've heard Dr. Buckley say that. So that's part of the problem with the church right now, is that there's people who they no longer like try to pattern after the elders, those elder preachers of the day, because you know in the different days there'd be the different elder preachers, the different people that God was using, like through the different revivals that we've had over the years, so like you know the revival during the Hagin years way back when, Amy Simple McPherson, R.W. Shambach, and others. And there's something to be said about some of these preachers. There is no one quite like them that quite does it like how they do it. Like, we could say, like, well, they could have said, you know, there's no one like Shambach but Shambach. There's no one like Copeland but Copeland.
Right.
There's no one like Kenneth E. Hagin but Kenneth E. Hagin. There's no one, you know, and the list goes on and on of all these different people that God has used over the years. But what we got to say who they are. I would say you should always esteem your pastor. Whoever your pastor is, provided hopefully they're a spirit-filled pastor, you should always, love them. And you should make them, your preacher of the century.
As long as you can.
Because I remember he said it like that before, your preacher of the century.
Yeah.
And you really should love your pastor, whoever they are. They're the person that God has placed in your life as, you could say, like a spiritual father or mother. If they're a female pastor. And just because they're a female pastor doesn't lower them any at all. It doesn't.
No.
You still highly esteem them. You honor them. You respect them. The exact same way you would if your pastor was a man. We got to get back to truly honoring our pastors. Again, those men of God who God has placed in our lives, and then some places, like I said a minute ago, the women of God, depending on where whoever that pastor is, but you highly esteem them. The people of Israel had to do that with Moses because he was their leader. And sometimes he would lead with trumpets. And when the different trumpet blasts would mean different things. I won't get into all that right now, but... I do want to remind you of a couple quick things about the tomorrow night thing. I already reminded you that tomorrow night I won't be on the air, but I'll be back Monday night as perky as always, like I always am.
Let's ask him how
you're doing. See how you're doing. Pray that.
You had a good day.
I pray that you had a good day and that whatever storms of life may be trying to come against you, that it would stop right now.
Yeah.
Whatever whatever it may be, because I might not know what it is, but God knows what it is. And the truth is He has us. The Lord has us in the palm of His hands, and He knows what it is that we're dealing with every day of our life. He knows what it is. And for some of you, that like you're feeling down and depressed, and you don't know why you're feeling down and depressed. He's the one who's got the solution and the medicine. Even when you don't know the reason for the downtroddenness and that depression that you might be feeling. And He's got that medicine.
And even fear. You know, some people are afraid.
And some of you people, you might just sit there, and you might just sit there, you know, going through life, but you just sit there, and you feel so afraid. And you don't know why. But God gives us peace. And sometimes for some of you who might wonder, why am I always so afraid? Why am I always so fearful? Why am I, you know, He might tell you, but what matters more is than that is that He's got the freedom. And He's got the peace to give you.
And that he can fix it,
and that He's the answer, so that all that, you know, fear, depression, oppression, whatever it is that's putting you, that's making you feel so down, so that can stop.
Right.
Immediately. I call our bodies healed in the name of Jesus. I want you to just put your hand on yourself right now and call your body healed.
Yes, I call my body
healed. In the name of Jesus, I call every cell of my body to line up to the Word of God right now. And I thank You that You are the great physician. You are the God that healeth me. Your Word says, I am the God that healeth thee. You were bruised for our iniquities. I mean, You were bruised, wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. And with Your stripes, we are healed. And therefore, You gave us life and life more abundantly. And I thank You for that. Thank You that You have not given us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
But of power, love, and a sound mind. Not dismay, confusion,
right.
and a mind that's wishy-washy. And your listeners can laugh all you want, but the truth is, some people, that's how they live. They're always dazed in a state of confusion.
Right.
Their brain is wishy-washy.
Yes.
They're just always uppy and downy, wishy and washy, wishy-washy. And about that, let me tell you something. Well, again, this is something the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you're double-minded, unstable in all of your ways. But the good news is you can become single-minded. You can become single-minded right where you are, right now.
Yeah.
And ask God to help you with that.
Yeah, and the Bible says that you yes be yes, and you know be no.
And that not only does it say that, but it says anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Mm-hmm. And the evil one is not God, it's the devil. Anything beyond that comes from the devil. And so I pray that he just ministered to us right now. I just felt like I was supposed to do that little, you know, checking in on everybody before I went to my announcements, even though I do always pray, you know, before we open the Word of God, and I always pray. But so, But, you know, sometimes, listeners, sometimes it doesn't hurt to go a little bit outside the box. And sometimes you gotta, if you feel, if maybe hear something or feel something in your spirit, then, and you know it's what God wants, then you just have to, you know, go along with it and be obedient rather than just always stick to a certain script or a certain plan that you might have had. All right. But real quick now, I want to remind you first about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story.
Yeah.
Such a great story. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how God has always been there for me.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's not only has he been there for me, but you get some of my mom's testimony in there too. You're essentially getting a 2-for-1. You're essentially getting a 2-for-1. It's not like, oh, you get my testimony in one book, but the other testimony, it's separate. It's separate, and you got to buy a whole separate book to get it. Nope. It's in their book. It's under the same cover. It's in the same book. God was faithful for my mom when she had some things, when she went in that open door on Halloween night of 1988, and she was needing help. And when she went in there, she was a wretch. She was a wretch.
A wreck.
I didn't say a rock. I said a wretch.
A wreck. Do you mean a wreck? Or do you mean a wretch?
I mean a wretch, like I just said.
Oh, okay.
Because if you think, yeah, it says, you know, he saved a wretch like me.
Me. Okay.
That's funny. It's like, you don't know what a wretch is?
I do know what a wretch is. I thought you meant a wreck.
Nope.
But you meant a wretch, and yes, you are correct.
I said a wretch.
You did. You said it. That's what you
because
meant.
Because Amazing Grace helps with the sound. That saved a wretch like me. The truth is, at one point, every one of us were a wretch, even if you got saved when you were little. In God's eyes, you were a wretch, and he saved you. But you know, she gave her life to Jesus, and at first, you know, she was, you know, not so happy that, you know, she was like, well, you know, Dr. Barclay helped her, along with Jesus. Because she would ask him, can I keep coming to your church? I just found out I'm pregnant. Can I still come to your church? I smoke. And what did he say? He said, yes, you can come. You can still come to my church. And I'll love on you. He's like, and of course, you know, well, I do want you to get free. God wants you free. And, you know, God helped him. God helped her. And God's always been there for me. You know, when we never have been going through things, I've called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And he's always been there, even when it seemed difficult. And you just call on his name.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes you just gotta call on his name, even when it might seem so difficult, and it might seem like the last thing on your mind. Because the truth is as you go through life on the face of the earth, you're gonna go through some stuff. But then also, you know, when you ask him, when you pray, eventually you can have that Red Sea moment, those Red Sea moments, those moments of victory. And I got a word for you. The victory is always greater than the battle.
Yes, hallelujah.
When those Israelites crossed the Red Sea, which is what I'm going to teach on tonight, it was greater that he opened the Red Sea than all that stuff they were going through before. And all that stuff they had to deal with Pharaoh saying no, 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 no. 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 Oh, if only I still had my notepad. I could have used that right now for Pharaoh. All the times that he kept saying no. Or he may say, like, well, yeah, you can go, but you can't take your kids. Yeah, you can go, but. He would say, yes, but. But, you see, when you go through life, you know, you're going through the things we had to go through, you know, and you get those Red Sea moments, that victory is always greater than the battle. It always is. Always. Amen. You can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book and how you can get that book in your hand. I want you to get that book in your hand. I really do. Whatever it might be, you know, however you want it, get it. And you can even get a digital copy by going to that website, riversofmiracles.com. That's rivers with an I, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com. And let that book be a blessing to your life. The other thing I want to remind you about quickly is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. If this has been a blessing into your life over the last 5.5 years that I've been doing this, you know, pouring out my heart to you, bringing you the Word of God, I pray that it's blessed you. I pray that it's been an encouragement to you. And I pray that you would sow your seed. And when you do sow your seed, which I want you to do, because I want you to sow your seed, you can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. In the search box, you'll want to type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind is that the first R, Rivers, and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. Please, if you would, please make a note of that. Kindly. Like my mom used to say sometimes when we were little, like to get our attention, like, please kindly seat in the seat in your seat of the car, please, kindly. Oh, don't laugh at me in that kind of voice, Mom. I know you did it. Yeah, we did. But if you would please, honestly, if you'd please for your seat. And by the way, if you're tuned in, if you're tuned in, thank you for always sowing that seed into the program. It's a blessing. And know that I love you and others here in the States. We love you. Call you blessed. Thank you, Natalia, for the blessing you are, the blessing you've always been. Amen. And so, the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, he who soweth sparingly shall also reap. He who soweth bountifully shall also reap. But there's a difference. The one who sows sparingly, meaning they're sowing very little. And by little, I mean like in terms of like they're not sowing what they could be. We're not stretching at all. In fact, they should be selling a lot more. But like it kind of shows like their height, their heart might not be there. You sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, bountifully. That means they go above and beyond. That means they're really sowing. Like the lady, that poor widow, she was poor. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. Now, that doesn't mean the Lord wants all your money. Don't go thinking that. But, you see, the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He doesn't just, it's not just looking at, you know, how many dollars did you put in the offering? How much change, how much money did you put in the offering? He's looking at that percentage. Because guess what? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your kidneys will be also. Right? Your kidneys? I don't know, your liver? Your legs? Feet? No, your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says that there in the book of Matthew. And then it says, therefore, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and rust destroy. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. So that means that the Lord looks on the heart. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and get into the word of the Lord. I won't forget the wonder of how you won, deliverer, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, cloud by day is the sign that you are with me. A fire by night is a sign. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You stepped into my Egypt,
You took me by the hand. You have launched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You launched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the God who fights for me. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Yes, thank you, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. Yes, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. Yes. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. This is how I win my battles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Lord. This is how I win my battles. Oh, this is how I win my battles. Oh, this is how I win my battles. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. You're always fighting for us. You're always fighting for us. You're always there with us.
Amen.
Even when it feels like we might be surrounded.
Yes.
We don't have to be in fear because we're surrounded by you.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, for that, that you're always there. You're always there for us. You're always making a way where it seems like there's no way. You know, and you've given us strength for each new day. And your mercies are new for us every day. Some of us who might walk this earth, we need that mercy every day. Some of us need it every single day. But thank you that it is new for us every day.
Yes.
Even if we haven't used it all up, it's still new for us. No, we thank you, Lord, that you're always on our side. Always. And thank you that you're healing our bodies. You're strengthening our minds.
Yes.
You're strengthening our minds, at least enough to not be distracted during this message.
Yes.
While I bring the word. I pray that these listeners come tonight with ears ready to hear, minds ready to understand.
Yes.
And I thank you, Master, for that and for what you're doing for these people, because I know, Lord, that you know what they have needed tonight. You know what they have needed. You know, even though I don't. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program,
yes,
that increases in listenership come into this,
yes,
that more and more people tune into this program and more find out about it. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom because of this program. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to open up to the book of Exodus chapter 12. We'll be looking at a couple different passages. We'll be looking at Exodus 12, starting in verse 31. And then we'll go to Exodus 13, starting in 17. What is that?
Oh, I just dropped something.
What is that big box you got?
Oh, it was a lid. I was just a laundry thing.
Oh. So go with me, please, if you would, to Exodus 12. We're going to look at verse 31. 12:31. So, here's how we start. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go. Worship the Lord, as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go. And also bless me." Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. And otherwise, they said, "We will all die." The people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs trapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. for they plundered the Egyptians. And the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough that they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. So at the end of the 430 years, the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. Now go to 13th chapter of Exodus. I'm going to start with verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, even though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around to the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with them because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of them, in front of the people. We'll go on to 14 so we can see them crossing the Red Sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Phinehas, besides Megiddo of the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, oh, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. They're hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people have fled. Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go, and we have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea, their pen, as well opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Turn the page. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you.
Hallelujah.
And you need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariot and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front of them and stood behind them. Coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all the night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptians' army and drew it into confusion. And he made the wheels of their chariots come off, so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horses. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it. And the Lord swept them into the sea. And the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. And the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. So the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right hand and on the left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And the Israelites saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore.
Wow.
And when the Israelites saw the great power that the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So you see, that's the Lord working on their behalf.
Yes.
And you see, you know, for a minute there, they were, some of these Israelites were kind of murmuring, kind of wondering. They're thinking for a minute beforehand, they're thinking, oh, well, just maybe we'd be better at it staying in Egypt. They're thinking, maybe we'd be better in Egypt. We don't like where we're camping right now. We don't like necessarily where we're camping. You know, they're like, you know, and then there's a road they could have taken, but God detoured them.
Yeah.
because he felt that if the Israelites saw war, that maybe what would happen is that they would possibly be discouraged and turn back. And so he figured, so the Lord's thinking, you know, I have a way to help them with this.
Yes.
So that they don't just decide, you know, not to trust me, all because they see something. You know, just because they see something that might make it look super, super, super hot. But then again, they could have seen the water. They could have thought, there's no way we can cross this. And so he parts the Red Sea for them. He parts the Red Sea for them. You know, and makes it so that they, all the Israelites, can cross on dry ground. The Israelites, the Egyptians tried to go in that water too. try to get in that what was water. But the problem is that Pharaoh's chariots, they are having their wheels tore off. God is somehow doing that. God is taking the wheels off because he knows some of those Egyptians are going in after them. So he's deciding, okay, I won't put the water in yet, but I will make it hard for the wheels.
Right.
And there's like 600,000 people, 600,000 men crossing the Red Sea, plus women and children.
Yeah.
So you've got to think, you know, there has to be close to like a million people
mm-hmm.
crossing the Red Sea. Think of it like the population of like, let me think here, like something like Dallas or something like that. That many people crossing the Red Sea at once. It'd be like if the whole population of Dallas was in there all at once. Because I'm thinking, you know, a million, maybe 1.1 million or so. Thereabout. I'm thinking of like, you know, city of Dallas, Texas. Not the whole Metroplex, but just strictly the city of Dallas. And it's like they're all going through at once on dry land. So they're going across. Then when all the Israelites make it across, God has Moses stretch out his hand again. And then the water comes right back into its place. At this point, the sea is not on the wall anymore. Because the walls of water had to be on either side so that they couldn't get lost. Because just imagine, what if the Red Sea had been dried up, but there was no wall on either side? They could have been lost because you've been out in the sea. It's huge out there. It's huge. If you've been out there in the sea, even with the water, try being like in the Atlantic Ocean or something. Even if you're not, it's not right over your head. It's huge. And if you're on one of these big beaches, these huge beaches, you'd be like, which way do I go back to the shore? Ain't that the truth? It's like, which way do I go back?
Right.
And so that's part of why he had the wall. He created the walls of water. It was in walls so that everybody knew where to go. Obviously, it had to be wide enough for all those people to go through it. So I'm sure it had to be like 100 feet, like 60 feet wide at least.
Yeah.
Like enough for many people, because otherwise it would take days and days, could take days for a million people to get across. Because, like I said, you're dealing with population size of Dallas, thereabouts. But then, you see, that sea didn't just part itself. God did that.
Amen. That's right.
And he was fighting for that. And even the Israelites, the Egyptians noticed, oh, God's fighting for them. God's fighting for them. And they're like, oh. But then they were noticing that they were having problems when the chariots were falling off. And Pharaoh was not making it easy. You know, his heart kept getting hardened. And Pharaoh even went out there.
Mm-hmm.
To their camp. And I'm sure Moses is thinking, huh? What? What you doing here? Aren't you just going to let us go?
Right. After all.
After all that, they're like, yeah, we're leaving. So why are you coming now? We're leaving. But he's like, but you see, God had hardened his heart. And Pharaoh did not love God at all.
No.
In fact, he hated God. Didn't like what God stood for. And he would lie. Different times prior, he would lie about letting the Israelites go. And at one point, he's still like, I know not Jehovah, neither will I let Israel go. He claims to not even know who God is at all. Even though God has talked to him multiple times, and told him,
Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me.
Yeah.
But he worked. But, and they had to go through all that for a long time. The Israelites had to. They had to go through all that. Pharaoh saying, nope, nope, nope. Well, you can go, but you can't take your kids, your children. Well, you can go, but you can only go for this amount of time. You can only go, but. And there would be all these restrictions on it that they would try to do. And then he would kind of take restrictions off, but be like, you know, come back.
Come back. I missed you.
And then be like, you know, when you're done, come back. They end up going. They end up fearing the Lord. They end up fearing the Lord and having respect for him for a time. Because later they would start grumbling and different things about the about water and other stuff. And, you know, Moses had a tough group of people to deal with.
They weren't always
so easy. They complained about manna because it wasn't like donuts. at least in America, I think that's why they'd be complaining because they'd be like, well, where's our donuts? Where's our Krispy Kreme donuts? Where's our peanut butter donuts? Where's our actual sandwiches? I want a ham and cheese sandwich. I need an omelet sandwich. I need it. You know, different things. Like they'd be like, I don't just want manna. I want a sandwich. I want a donut. I want, you know, these different things they would want. I want quail. Quail sandwich, I don't know how good that sounds.
No.
Not even breaded quail?
No.
Later on, they're coming out their nose. And let me tell you, if you get to the point where something's come out your nose because you've been eating it so much, I doubt you'll be eating that thing again anytime soon. So at least it'll be a while, whatever that thing is, before you eat it again. Because that just becomes, you know, like not pleasant. Regardless of what it is. You'll be like, okay, it'll be a while. But for that moment, they were so glad that God had parted the Red Sea on their behalf. And who knows what could have happened had they always had that gratefulness, had they always trusted in him. And not just in that moment where they were desperate. Because even in what we read tonight, we saw that there was a little bit of complaining while they were camping. Oh, I know. There were bugs barking at them.
Yeah.
Maybe that was, but then again, in that day, it's not like there was bug repellent. It's not like there was, anti-flea or the different things you spray all over you to try to keep the mosquitoes away. Up here in Michigan, you know, central Michigan, southeast Michigan, we get skeeters here. We get mosquitoes. And sometimes they'll try to bite us and different bugs, and they'll try to jump on us. Maybe we're at a campfire or something. You see, nowadays, we got bug repellent. In that day, they didn't have bug repellent. Maybe that was their issue. But either way, they were like, we just want to be in Egypt. Like a few of them were, and then they're like, but then it's like when they saw that
the waters being parted for them, then they're like, okay, this is awesome. Let's go. I think some of them were just always looking for a sign to be impressed by. I think they were just looking for what could impress them, what was cool. I really think that was the mindset of some of these Israelites. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
They just wanted what was cool. Some of them, even some of the ones who were saying they'd rather stay in Egypt, decided to go across because they thought that it was cool that the Red Sea was parted.
Yeah.
Like, now you have so many people, so many Christians, who just go to what's cool. Who just go to, oh yeah, there's that, right? People getting healed, people get, people being, to some people, they might just think it's cool when they see people getting healed. Some people might just, yes, it's great, yes, there's coolness to it, but it's ultimately, it's life changing.
Yeah,
there's so much beyond a cool factor to it. I mean, if you're just looking for a cool factor, then why come? Even though there might be that,
but hallelujah,
it's the power of God.
Oh, reverence.
It's the reverence.
And see what the Lord has
done. Look at what the Lord has done.
Come and see.
And I think of, this little song that we used to sing when we were young. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. See what my Jesus has done.
Hallelujah.
And not just in my life either, but in so many different people's lives.
Yes.
And he's just been so faithful. And he was there with Abraham. He was there with Isaac. He was there with Jacob. He was there with Moses. And those Israelites, as pesky as they were, sometimes they just wouldn't get off his back. They were asking him favors. They probably wanted him to give them movie tickets. I don't know. They were hungry, and he passed it with trumpets. Some of them, that trumpet would blow, they could be baking in their ovens. Some of them went to McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, really?
Okay, no, they didn't do that, but maybe some of them might have. But
I thought I missed something in the Bible.
No, they did not go there. They didn't have those. But some of them were probably baking in their ovens. And when you hear one, that means time to go. Time to break camp and move. And you don't want it, you stay left behind right there. Two blasts on that trumpet. It meant time to go to church. It meant getting the word. It meant you got a little baby, stick a diaper on their bottom. It's time to go to the house of God. Because he would, like I said, he was pastor with trumpets. Number three toots. When there were three toots, that might lock the door. An enemy's coming. And you don't want to let him in. You don't want to let the enemy in. You don't want to let that enemy in. You want to keep them out.
Yes.
You do not want to let that enemy in. You want to you know, you want to keep them out and let them, you know, you want to, you just want to keep, let God do what he wants to do. And pray. And let them in. And so let him, and so just let them in. I mean, you just want to let them but like I was saying, you know, that enemy's coming. It's time to pray and time to not let that enemy enter in, you know. And that's why you do that. That's why you don't just let them, you know, do, you know. So every different, you know, blow of the trumpet would mean something else. And you have to do, it meant something different that you had to do when that trumpet would blow. Amen. And so I was saying, and so, all those Israelites, you know, they would learn what those trumpets meant, even when they didn't necessarily want to. But you see that Red Sea thing, you know, that was proof that God was on their side, because even the Egyptians talked about it. But when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. They ended up drowning. Yep, they ended up drowning, and it ended up not being a great thing for them. It ended up being, and so I'm gonna close it down now. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Pray that we would get it in our hearts. Thank you, Master, for what you did, for what you've done for all these people. Thank you for that Red Sea parting that you did. Thank you, Master, that your hand is on us. And I thank you that we would be doers of this word and not hearers only. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I confess Psalm 91 over us. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no terrorist, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff will be near us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy. We'll be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you all Monday.
What did Dad want anyway?
Oh, that was not your dad. That was John telling me that he will pick us up at 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock.
What was the sort of thing you wanted?
And then Jennifer Patford, she texted me.
What?
That the week we come back, she can't work Wednesday. Because her mother-in-law is going to Florida.
She goes to Florida first. I thought she came back like she went like the 12th.
She did just go, but she's going again.
Goes in Florida. What's the sort of thing that God wanted? What was the sort of thing that God wanted? What did he say? How cold?
He said he was supposed to go fishing this morning. He did not go because it was so cold.
But we come back Sunday, though.
We will get, okay, I want to talk to you about this whole thing.
Well,
but first, I have two questions to ask you. Rivers, did you do your tanning today?
No.
Do you need it?
No. What's the other thing you were going to ask me?
Oh, I was going to tell you the whole
okay.
plan. But I don't have to do it right now. But sometimes, you know, I just wanted to tell you the whole plan. So I have about 1 hour's worth of work to do tonight. Well, Rick, early this, no, at 10, at 9:30 this morning, I left the house. I went, and I took my car to get a new muffler. And I got back just before 12.
Where did you take it to?
Right down on Sashabon, Rip. And Rip, I was going to drive my car. Oh my gosh, you will not believe how bright my car is. I was going to drive my car all the way to Stanford. But I did not have to because John told me about a guy down here. And this guy down here, he did it. A muffler sample was going to be 300 to 400. But at Tuffy Muffler, it was going to be 700. And this guy did it for 160. But that's not all he did, Rick. He tightened up everything under that vehicle.
Like, you told me this is as quiet as you've ever had.
Yeah. Rivers, it was so cheap. I imagine the power, the presence, the goodness, the kindness, the love of God. I'm telling you. That we found somebody here. So that I didn't have to drink. Because when I came home Sunday night, it got so noisy that I had stopped at Mount Morris. So you know during church, do you know that I took it over to Carlos Elsie's, right?
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going.
And he fixed it just enough to drive it home.
But Rev, it was so loud, and I couldn't go over 50 miles an hour.
50?
Why are we restricted to 50?
And I couldn't stop yet. And then
I already told you with the last motor Michigan that I'd want to be on, going under 50. 75.
I'm glad you went with me. You had that. It was awesome.
that this car is fixed. Now I can sell it. I'm going to get a new one. It's a good thing. So do you want me... So did you look and see, like, how short our flight is?
Like an hour and a half.
We leave Detroit at 12:20. Right?
Which means we don't have to get to the airport until 10:20, but 10 o'clock, but still.
We have, it's the rush hour. So we have to be at 8.
Because even though 9 o'clock is not rush hour.
Right.
As part of that, in case there's like a metro coffee shop we want to stop to or whatever.
John does want coffee. Yeah. But River.
Okay.
But metro, I'm not like a different suburb or whatever.
Yeah, and that, I don't want to be Cincinnati any earlier.
Or
our car.
Right.
On Sunday night. I don't want to go all the way to the airport. Even though we're not that far from it, I don't want to have to go there. And every day that the car is missing the parking lot.
Take off home.
Yeah.
So there's more to it than it's just be a cheaper move. There's more to it than it's just cheaper.
There's also
time because you're saving like an hour.
Yeah.
Because then you get off at a regular 75 to get on this other highway to go to the airport.
Uh-huh.
And then go right back to downtown Detroit and then get on again.
Yeah, and John wants to, when we go in the morning, I was gonna tell you this too. He goes down Telegraph. We came home that way before. But that's the way you have to go. But it's still worth it.
Yeah, so we do his way,
even though we want to go the other way.
Even though we always like going like through downtown Detroit, it always feels like it feels cool when you're going through like downtown Detroit when it's getting dark. Like we're on the blue way.
So we leave at 12:20 and arrive at 1:01.
Here's the deal though. That 1:01 is an hour behind us.
What?
So it would actually be 2:01.
What?
It's an hour and 41 minutes late.
So Dad said as soon as we get there, he'll take us to eat. And then, so then when we land there, right, at 2 o'clock, it's an hour and a half back to our hotel.
Yeah, back to Illinois, to Springfield.
Yeah. So then we'll get there like at 3:34, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll go to church at like 6:30.
Church, so 7, we get there at 6:30, right?
Yeah.
Like 6:30 is prayer?
Yeah. And then...
They do prayer, right?
Yes.
For 6:30 though, not 6:15.
I don't. I think it's 6:30, yeah. And then the church is only 10 minutes from our hotel.
I think that they're praying right to service as opposed to fellowship prayer.
I don't know.
Is that one over here, did it?
Yeah.
Prayer right to service, they didn't have a fellowship prayer?
No, they had a 10-minute fellowship break, or just a few-minute break. Like, people would get up and go to the bathroom if they needed it. Yeah.
Like, it was like it was, a prayer started at 30 instead of at 15.
Right. So then,
we have prayer, then we have church.
Yeah. And then you and I will leave and go back to our hotel room. But then we'll have to go back and get that. Because he goes back to the prayer room and does stuff with all the ministers, and they might even go to eat together, and we just go to our room and tell them all of them. Because he is like one of the ministers there. So then, should I tell you what I know about Friday right now?
I thought Thursday was the last day of the
month. I meant Thursday.
Should I tell you right now? On Thursday
we have
morning service, right? Yeah.
So, now we're on
Thursday.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, right after the service, we would go to the mall.
The Springfield Mall.
Yeah. It has 77 stores. And then, or unless you wanted to do something different. And
I wanted to go to a one.
Yeah, that's the only day. And then...
Because Friday is when we leave on drive.
And we wanted to find out from you, like, do you want to go early in the morning? I mean, kind of early in the day, so that we have more time in Cincinnati. Because then...
We're going through to Indianapolis on the way over there.
Indianapolis has restaurants and malls and everything, right?
Yeah, Indianapolis is a big one like that we want to, but we basically never really been in like where we like
that. To stop there.
Like just that we went to the mall or like that we went to some kind of like restaurants or whatever. Or like how all
but
that
in Springfield. We want to take you to a diner
there. Yeah, there is a diner there because I was teasing her with Jay because she cooked crooks. I was teasing her about how there's all those I's and an O. What do I mean by the I's and O? Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and an O, Ohio. Actually, it would be IIIOP.
Yeah.
Really, because it would actually be IA. IA. Yeah. Something like that. Like that little puzzle thing. Is that IIIOP.
Yeah.
You figured what the P was with Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
That's so like that little, set of states, and then Kentucky would be another set, it'd be like east or west, it'd be like K, KM, B, North B, K, W, I mean, it would sound the same as IILP.
Is that?
I think that's good.
Okay. And then, you know, after church Sunday morning, we'll go out to eat and stuff, but then we'll come home.
Yeah, that's when we'll start.
And Friday night, we are staying in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Saturday.
Right. Right, and of course, we'll find out, like, some of that will find, some of this will kind of find, I'll kind of find out of it. how's it going, like when we get with Dad, like I'll ask him, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
Because some of it,
wants you to ask.
Because sometimes, that's why you're not displaying out every little thing in front of you.
Right, yeah.
It's almost like in a way, just about being in it, seeing the places in that, going into the restaurants and different places you might go just by hearing the people or whatever, sometimes you can just tell things about a certain city or its area. These different areas. Like this area reminds me more of, you know what I mean?
So, Rev, what do you need to do, want to do?
I think I want the rest of my office.
Okay.
I don't know if there's like 10 minutes for it.
Okay. And then it's almost 9 o'clock. I have like an hour of work to do.
What?
And I didn't want to go to bed really late. Liv, should we just go to bed early?
Sure.
Are you a little tired today? I have been tired today and I have no reason to be tired. I think so. Yeah.
I'm gonna fly the line.
I know, and I have to get up really early. Okay, then, you let me know when you want your muffin stuffing. Yeah, you'll just let me know. I'm going to put your computer and stuff away.